to come and stall it.
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher. I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
How are you doing, everybody? Welcome to episode 199 of the Stala podcast. We're one away from 200.
Ooh.
200 episodes. That might seem like a low number, but in the podcast world, that's almost 5 years.
That is not a low number. That is fucking huge, man. 200.
In the podcast world, that's a big number.
It certainly is.
That's a week's, that's the labour.
Mm-hmm.
That's the if they the were euros, now. If they were euros, that's the labour.
Jesus. Do you ever see them big, massive podcasts that have like thousands of episodes?
Yeah.
And they're just like, that's like 10 years or like 12 years. Like,
and
just like,
10 years and putting out 3 or 4 a week.
Yeah.
That's the catch, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I didn't really do too much then. Not really that impressive after all.
We have bonus episodes. If you wanted to count them, you'd be up into
the bonus. We're probably up, what, around 360, 370, I'd say. I should have numbered the bonus episodes.
We'd have been on fucking 300 now.
Oh, we just go back and count now.
You could do it.
I could. I won't.
Just ask AI.
Oh, yeah.
I would do it if I was you.
Let's see if ChatGPT can give you something to do. Why isn't he asked ChatGPT something?
Get clear the head. They give you something to do, won't they? Later on.
I don't use ChatGPT anymore. I use the Chinese one, DeepSeek.
DeepSeek?
Is it better?
I think so. I think it is better. Or Grok. No, Grok
is Musk's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking ChatGPT. This is like the kid who didn't do the homework, didn't do the book report.
What's the saying?
Stala Podcast has released numerous bonus episodes.
Oh.
While the exact total isn't specified, recent bonus episodes include, like, you're supposed to do this fantastically powerful AI tool. Just count the fucking things.
Count all of the bonus.
An exact number. Getting snippy with AI here. Now it's saying 49. That's not right. That's wrong.
Could it be right? Pretty sure we only started a bonus episode. Like,
now it's getting passive aggressive. Apologies for the earlier inaccuracies. Upon reviewing the available information, it appears that the Stall It with Darren and Joe podcast has released numerous bonus episodes, each labeled with the prefix bonus. However, an exact count isn't readily available from the provided sources. I recommend visiting the podcast official pages. It's basically saying, go do it yourself.
So I want you to do it. There has been 355 total episodes as of April 2025.
Who's telling
which,
you that?
This is DeepSeek, which include both regular and bonus episodes. So if you take away, 198 DeepSeek, which is free. I hope you know. It's Alibaba's one, and it's free. And it's fucking, the detail in it is really good.
What was the total?
355 total episodes.
Mm.
And if you take away 198, if take away 198 from that,
157.
So 157 bonus episodes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not bad.
Not bad.
That's not bad at all.
What do you reckon, Darren?
I think it's good. I think that sounds better than ChatGPT as well.
Yeah, ChatGPT did not fare very well in that battle of the AIs.
Tell it that it's fallen behind with the other one,
the Chinese.
Just say
I'm kind of scared of the AI though,
in case it
it gets me.
Go on to,
you know what I mean, if you insult ChatGPT, it'll get me.
I'd get smart with it.
Well, it got smart with me. Okay, we get on with the episode.
Yeah, go on.
4 weeks until the wedding. Yeah, but look, what could be better than a wedding, huh? What else could he be doing?
The celebration of two people in love. What about dogs? Can people bring their dogs?
Absolutely they can.
Dogs are allowed, yeah. A little dog table. A load of little dog bowls.
Like that fucking picture of all the iconic movie gangsters that are just like pit bulls and stuff. Did you ever see that one?
Reading the playing poker.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
And what if one of those dogs attacks Frank during the vows?
Well, that's fucking their own doing.
But I'm wondering, would you interrupt your own vows to defend Frank, or would you get on with the job at hand?
I'd say it'd be right at the point where it's like, Darren, do you take Amy to be your lawfully wedded wife? And I'd just go, Frank, get down, Frank, get down. Eyes at the shite. I'll go up and pick up a shite.
Yeah.
A little doggy bag, I'll have them in my pocket.
So Frank's bringing down, Frank is the ring bearer, yeah?
In this scenario, yeah.
Is he the ring bearer on
no.
the day?
Oh. The venue won't allow dogs.
Right, okay.
Imagine that. Fucking hell. They allow kids, but they won't allow dogs. Jesus Christ.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Isn't it?
Because I was going to say, like, is the other dog going to be left out? Has no jobs. Just left at home. She's on the door checking ideas.
Yeah. And cards. She's fucking close now, I tell you. Fucking close.
Are you feeling it?
Feeling it the last 3 years. Oh, the pressure.
But now, like, it's happening. Like, you're going to be married. Mm. Like, this time next month, you're going to be a married man.
I know. I'll be married.
Mm.
I'm going to be a married man and have a ring. The one ring to rule them all. Imagine I put it on and I disappeared.
You do to women.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You do to women.
Disappear. Oh, yeah.
Just vanish. You'll see a followers drop.
Like fucking take me out. Just one left, Amy. And I go, I love you.
Mute or half.
It is mad. It's a mad thing, isn't it?
Are you doing your own vows?
We're not actually doing vows. We just kind of skip that and just like go in and have a little dance.
Yeah. Just be like,
that, there's loads of things around it. Like, it's a civil ceremony, so there's loads of like elements to it, like, you know, and people don't really want to be like sitting around for ages, you know.
Hmm.
So we're thinking of everyone else. We're thinking of the guests more so than ourselves, which is a nice thing, isn't it?
No, It's a day to be selfish. If any day you want to be selfish, it's your wedding day.
Yeah, I'm gonna go up to every guest and just like show them my ring. Go, I'm married. Here, take a photo with me. I'm married. Come over here and we get a photo. I have a ring. I'm gonna get married. I did.
It feels the way you say it like that. It makes it feel like two kids playing mammies and daddies. But just like with a high budget. Yeah. I'm married and they're stormtroopers.
They're stormtroopers from Star Wars. I'm about to get married. Come over and we take a photo. And these are my dogs. They're not even allowed in, but I snuck them in the back door. They're dressed as Yoda and an Ewok. Come on, take a photo with us all.
I feel like the fourth dance is going to be fucking Barney and the Dinosaur or something.
No, I was thinking Bear and the Big Blue House.
Oh yeah, banger.
It's the Bear and the Big Blue House. Something else.
Imagine that was your fourth dance.
Come might on, do for the crack.
Come on, good friends, come on.
Yeah, probably do for the crack.
Please
just
do.
Because I talked about it on the podcast, it's like, I have to do that for like 2 minutes just because I talked about it.
It'd be amazing though.
Because there'd be loads of people disappointed because they listened to that episode and like, if I don't do it now, like, they won't fucking listen anymore.
Oh, it could be good, like a remix of Bear in the Big Blue House.
Could be good.
Get Robbie J to do it.
How many minor celebrities are going to be at this thing?
Probably zero. I'd say Joe would be the biggest one.
Yes.
I know, Joe, you'll hate that. You're going in the hope of doing some serious schmoozing.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Joe loves a room, doesn't he?
This is gonna
Joe
be like,
loves a room with a bit of clout.
Joe owns a room.
Yeah.
This is the Irish version of the Charlize Theron parties, you know? Where in LA, when Charlize Theron throws a party, everyone wants to be there. A Darren Conway wedding? Man, this better be off the chain.
Imagine it was just fucking shy. And you're like going to Moira. Like, oh my God, like, what the fuck? Didn't even get us a drink, like.
I go up to you at the end and say, is this a dry run? Are you going to do it again next year? Or You should renew your vows every year and make it like a celebrity party. Make it a thing.
The annual yearly wedding renewal vows. Yeah. That could be something. RSVP. RSVP by the February 10th if you want to go to the wedding renewal renewal of our vows. Give them a goodie bag and all. Say it to me face, like. It's grand. I'll take it on the chin and move on. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on well. I'm about to start.
I'm saying your fucking story.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying your fucking April Fool's joke.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you honestly, about
that. Can I ask you, was the text real, like?
So that was Moira got me with that prank. I woke up in the morning and Moira was like, look, she sent me a load of messages saying, hey, I don't want to panic you, but just message me when you're up. And then she kept messaging me and then she sent me the screenshots. So I was like, what the fuck? So I seen the screenshots of text messages from Airbnb saying that ICE was at my old apartment that we were in trying to deport me because I had moved without telling the visa. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was up, it was like 8 o'clock in the morning over here, and I was packing my bags and everything. I was calling Moira, and Moira was saying, you can get a bus to New York, and then from New York, you can go to Canada, and then you can fly out from there. Otherwise, like, they'll fucking bring you to El Salvador, where that's where they're deporting everyone from. And in my head, I'm like, shit, they were there at 11:30 last night at the other Airbnb. And like, she just made this whole elaborate story and had me convinced that I was going to be deported from
How long did she keep that going?
Well, like, you know, for the duration of the phone call. And then I thought she was crying on the phone. And I was like, are you crying? Don't worry about it. It's grand. It'll be grand. Like, I'll get out. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You've nothing to worry about. And she's like, I'm not crying. I'm okay. And I was like, it's all right. Relax. Don't worry about it. And then, like, in the end, she started laughing. And she wasn't crying. She was fucking laughing. The evil bitch. I had my fucking suitcase on the bed and I was packing it with clothes and everything. I was ready to go.
Real. Genuinely. Then you doubled down then, didn't you?
I did.
I thought it was real.
I stuck the post up on Instagram, on my Instagram stories then. And then I got loads of engagement off that. And people were like, what the fuck, Joe? And there was people messaging Moira, even my ma and my sister was messaging Moira saying, is he really being deported? What the fuck is going on? And then I was like, people think, on April, it seems like such an April Fool's trick. Like, you're surprised that people fall for this shit.
Well, I think that was like different. Like, usually it's like your lace is open, you know?
It was because it was so early in the morning that I was like, what the fuck? I just woke up in a panic then, you know? Yeah. I wasn't prepared for it. And then I went down to the train station and everything to say, oh, I'm about to get on a train.
How far is that? Is that far away?
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes on a bike. It was effort to go down there. But yeah. I think it sold it.
Did anyone text you back when you said I'm only messing? Did anyone write to you saying you...
Yeah, they all called me a prick and you little bollocks, you and you sap and all with laughy faces. But yeah, I got a lot of people good with it. Real good. There was people from Canada messaging me saying, hey, someone put me in touch and said that you're looking for a place to stay and stuff like that. And they were willing to help me out in New York and in Canada. They were all willing to harbour a fugitive.
Sleep in the bunker.
Fucking.
Next to the peers.
It was a good one.
Did you see that one?
I didn't, but I heard about it.
Yeah, you were, ooh.
You heard yourself about it.
Who's
the go loud source?
There's people talking, you know.
The fuck? What am I missing?
I didn't know Moira was behind it though.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Moira, I thought it was just yourself.
No, Moira deserves all of the credit. All of the fucking credit. She had to message, like, to get the screenshots of the text messages, she had to message Airbnb customer support. And because Airbnb customer support is like AI, she basically asked. She said, I just deleted that message, like, can you send it back to me to get like Airbnb to send that message to her? And it was fucking, and then
I was wondering,
there's a screenshot of an email. So part of the joke was that she emailed the Irish consulate, the embassy here, to see what was going on. And in the heading of the... I had cropped it out because I didn't want to put that in. But it was the Irish ambassador's email that she forwarded on to me. And it had the stamp and everything on it. It had the Irish emblem in the footer. Jeez. in the footer of the email and everything to say that, you know, no, he's fucked, like, basically. They got in touch with ICE, and ICE said that I'm in breach of my visa and that.
I thought you were going to be in a detention centre, you know, like Scarface.
Yeah.
The opening of Scarface where he just shanks someone. I just thought you would be shanking someone saying, okay, let's go.
There is people, and they're shaving their heads and all. Like, have you seen the videos of them?
No.
Like, the thing about that joke, and the reason why I like that joke, is because it's shocking that that prank is so believable. That's the shocking part about it. Like,
yeah,
people are being deported for, like, stupid shit. And yeah, they're not just being deported, they're sent to El Salvador. It's mental.
There's videos of them taking, like, hundreds of men shackled together, basically, isn't there? Shaved heads being...
That is grim.
Yeah, it's fucking what looks crazy. Like, it's crazy.
Looks like the scariest prison in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not being deported. It's not like, oh, you're here illegally.
Like, go back home kind of thing.
It's a load of Venezuelans sent to El Salvador. They're not from El Salvador. And there's no trial or anything. They just, ICE just show up, masked in unmarked cars. And that's it.
Game over.
Real police state stuff. It's scary.
What happened to you going on holidays to Vegas for a week?
North Korean stuff is what it is.
There's people, and I think it's legitimate.
I heard
it's not conspiratorial. There are people saying, like, if you're going to America, bring a burner phone.
Yeah, I heard that when you go through customs, that they take your phone, hook it up to a machine, and just, like, they have transcribe everything. Like,
they have the right to, yeah. They can do that.
Surely I sent at least one message saying, fuck Trump. Am I bollocks?
Well, if they check, it might be. There's lots of examples of Europeans being detained.
Yeah.
I actually read an article.
Just going on holiday?
Yeah, there was a Romanian fella. He's an academic in America now, but he's originally from Romania. And when he was a kid, it was when Ceausescu was there, the dictator, and they had, like, the secret police, the state police going around. And he wrote an article for the New York Times saying, like, this is what it is. It's people snitching on other people and the police just rounding them up with no due process and putting them on planes or in these weird detention centres, and this is how it begins.
Say, like, I bring, like, say, microphones and, like, a fucking GoPro or whatever to Vegas.
Yeah.
And I have that 5-year working visa. Are they going to drag me in a room and say, why have you got all this equipment? It's not like all this equipment, it's like little bits, like.
Yeah, that's very possible. If they see what they're, like, what are the microphones for? You say, well, like, that's my job.
Or if I'm like literally, we got married 2 days ago, we're going on a honeymoon.
I mean, yeah, like, it's all down to the person you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So if they go, if you go, oh, I'm an amateur. But
an amateur influencer.
They'll look you up.
Yeah.
Very quickly, they'll figure out who you are.
And they'll just be like, harmless. Go ahead.
You lie to them. Then you're getting taken in the back and you wake up in El Salvador.
Imagine. There'll be a film in it.
Yeah.
Then I come back, rise up out of the cave like fucking Batman.
The cave.
Bruce Wayne getting out of what was it called? I don't know.
Yeah. The fucking hellhole.
The pit with Bane in it.
I've always found American police and immigration particularly be quite a humorless bunch, but I imagine now it's
really
even worse.
I feel like it's going to be different going to Vegas. It's going to be like fucking, could you step in this room, sir?
Where are you flying into
for? What?
Are you flying straight to Vegas?
No, I have to. It's a spliff fly, so it's going to Washington where you are.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then, so from Washington then to Vegas, yeah. See, Aer Lingus do like a direct fly from Dublin to Vegas, and it stops like on the 1st of May or something, or the end of April. We just like missed that by like a week. Could have been handy, but. What can you do? Yeah, imagine going through customs and just being like, get your hands off me now. I'm not going in no room. Just want to get a bit of content on the honeymoon as all. I want to see Elvis. I want to go to an Elvis tribute show. Please. Tell them I just want to visit the Pawn Star Show.
They'll be suspicious that you're going to Washington first because, like, you know, that's where the president lives. That's where the White House and everything is. So you might need to explain that one to them.
I was like, couldn't get direct flights, mate. Get your hands off me, I said.
Get your finger down. Get your finger down.
Imagine you just like said like to them, get your hands off me. They just be like, go home.
No, I don't think they would.
Well, if I said, get your hands on me, what are you going to send me to El Salvador?
Imagine.
Well, listen, there's not a whole lot stopping them at this stage.
That's true. It's no,
imagine you fell at the fourth hurdle. Imagine you fell at the fourth hurdle and you went up to the desk where you check in or whatever, and they say, and where are you off to? And then you say, none of your fucking business.
Where are you off to?
Get your hands off me.
Are you for fucking real? A cop wouldn't ask me that.
Come into this room here with me, sir.
Hook your phone up to that machine there, please. Hook her up. Load of messages back and forth with John McGuckin talking about how America's fucked.
Yeah, we listen to your podcast, so no, you can't come in. You're barred.
But we will let you in if you do an impression of Jerry Hutch.
What do you mean I'm not getting it?
I'm not doing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're thinking about it.
We're on a 5-year working visa.
I couldn't help them.
I brought me GoPro and everything I did, you dying wasp. I keep getting these fucking TikToks, man, and they kind of make me sad. It's like a swipe of photos and like it's captioned, if you're a 90s kid or whatever, you'll remember these, and it's like old shit. And every fucking slide, I'm like, Jesus, man, it unlocks this memory. But there's this song over it and it's real, like, it just brings you right back to your childhood. I don't know what it's like, children's laughter over like emotional kind of music, like.
Aww.
You ever see them? And it's like, man, what the fuck?
I can't look away.
But like, it's horrible. Like, but
glow in the dark, Caspers.
Oh, all of that, man. They had one in particular, and I was like, oh my god, I forgot all about them. And they were a cereal toy when, what was it? Yeah, Star Wars lightsabers. But like, they were like tiny. But there was like a game on it with the ball in it and a maze in the lightsaber. Do you remember them? Or them fucking Looney Tunes things where you've pushed them in and they just pop up? Little frisbee things. Do you remember them? Little rubber yolks.
Sort of.
I'm just saying, if you get your hands on a couple of them, might be worth investing.
Do you think so? a few pencil toppers.
It actually wouldn't. It wouldn't be worth that at all, actually.
Ah, Real Monsters pencil toppers. I don't remember them.
Do I remember them? Were they the monsters that made funny faces and they were like red and yellow and green? And
they were all different monsters. One of them had his eyes in his hands and he'd fall. If he needed to use his hands, he'd put his eyes in his mouth. And he'd...
Oh, yeah.
And one of them was like a black and white stick.
It rings a bell.
Yeah. Earthworm Jim. How about Earthworm Jim pencil toppers?
How about the butt ugly Martians? Do you remember them?
I don't remember them, no.
Oh, man. It was a very niche one, I think.
I'd buy all of this shit. Yeah. If someone had a chest and had all of that nostalgic shit in it, like a box,
you'd give them a lot of money, wouldn't you?
You would.
You'd give them more money than they deserve for it.
Yeah.
You'd just give it to them. You'd be like, I want you to have all of this money for that box, because you just never know.
Would you give a grand?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Give him more than that.
Yeah.
Even if he wants 100, I'll give him 1,000.
Like a load of pogs. A Tamagotchi, an original Tamagotchi. All of that.
I really want to buy someone's old garage or attic and just like, not buy their attic, but the contents of that. Remember we talked about before?
Yeah.
That happens a lot in America.
Just you know, like, yeah, you have your own one. You have your own one and you haven't even gone through it.
My own attic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't say that. You can't say
no,
that.
But I want someone else's.
Because you don't know what's in it. Whereas you have an idea what's in yours.
Mm. Well, although my nanny told me a few weeks ago, because I was putting shit up in the attic for them. Quite heavy, you know.
So you were up there?
I was up there a few weeks ago, yeah. But she said there's a chest down. There's a chest at the back of the attic. And it's like one of them real old chests that you'd put at the end of your bed. Do you know them ones?
Yeah.
like the, I think people still probably do them. Like they actually, like people buy them and like paint them and redo them and actually put them at the end of the bed. Like, but she said there's like a good few stuff in there from when my ma, my auntie and uncles were kids. But my ma reckons they're just like Barbie dolls with like their heads taken off and do you know all that shite? Like,
yeah.
I'm interested in opening that though.
You'd never know. Like a diamond in the rough. I always think of the opening scene in The Goonies, you know, when they're up and they find the map. That's what you could find. If you could buy one prop from one film, what would it be?
It's a tough one.
Like one prop from
The Everlasting Gobstopper from Willy Wonka. Oh, guys, it just, it was on an episode of Pawn Stars. We had it in a box and it was like the original one from the movie, like sold for like a couple of hundred thousand. Like,
I wonder how much the golden ticket goes for. I wonder where that is.
There was someone that on the same episode that had like three of them, I think. I don't know how much they went for. But there's websites, isn't there? There's movie prop auctions.
But a legitimate, like the real one, the real one.
Yeah. Yeah, they have them, like websites dedicated to, like auctioneers, websites that just sell like movie props.
Really?
Yeah, mad money, like.
I'm looking her up here.
Like T-Rex's heads from Jurassic Park and stuff like that. You'd love all that. Add it to the garden.
Oh yeah, the hoverboard from Back to the Future.
That'd be a good one.
That's good.
A T-board jacket from Greece.
Sandy,
do you know what I'd love? I was thinking, when I asked the question first, I was thinking I'd love the original Jumanji game
that's
he played
one. Yes,
would that be brilliant. Cool.
Yeah, and like you get sucked into it, and yeah, at the end of like they all come out all elephants and your man with the gun and the horse.
Or the Goonies map. Like, I'd love to get the fucking Goonies map. Or the token that he used, like the key that has like the three holes in it, that when you hold it up, it's kind of its own little map, like the key that he has in the Goonies. Do you know, Maura's never watched the Goonies.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it when I was younger, but I cannot remember it.
Well, you can't remember the Goonies?
No, I think I've seen it once when I was really young and just never watched it since.
Wow.
What's the famous prop in Indiana Jones?
The crystal skull?
Is it crystal skull, is it? No, that's a newer one, isn't it?
His hat. It's got to be his hat. If you could get something from Indiana Jones, it has to be his hat.
No, the fucking thing that they go into the tomb to find, picks it up in that scene and it's glowing. What's that?
Crystal skull.
That'd be worth a few. I'd say that'd be there now. I'd like that. I'd like one of them. Or like a fucking lightsaber from The Emperor Strikes Back or something like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, would that not be the most
obvious?
Yeah. Not
but
in a bad
so
way.
There's so many of them. It'd nearly be kind of...
You wouldn't go for a Darth Maul lightsaber, no?
No, too long.
Be worried about the damage you do to yourself with that.
I'd be worried about the damage you do to the house. Especially when I'm doing it in the nip.
That, yeah, of course, I forgot that part of it.
I'm telling you now, they're fucking acting the bollocks.
Oh, actually, do you know what happened? I was coming back from the gym the other morning and I was just walking along with my headphones and this girl turned the corner and she like got a fright. Like, it's like she got a fright and I was like, she was talking to me. I took my headphones out and she's like, oh my God, I'm literally just listening to your podcast now. And I was like, that is mad. She's like, yeah, just you're talking about the boys. I remember I was like bumped into Keith Duffy.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm just listening to that bit. And I was like, that's mad. I was like, I'll give you a shout out on the next one. And she just put her headphones in and walked away.
That's mad,
like,
isn't it?
That is mad. That's weird, like.
Yeah. Did I say to you a couple of weeks ago, like I was walking around Coolock with the dog and somebody rolled down the window and turned the radio up and it was...
Yeah.
He was listening to the Stala podcast. Mental.
That's a big mad fucking Inception moment or something, isn't it?
Like a glitch in the Matrix.
Like a glitch.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Just bumping into someone and they've just been listening to you in their ears.
Yeah.
Doing an impression of Jerry Hutch. And then you turn the corner and go, hello. What the bloody hell? That's mad. That's fucking mad, isn't it?
Yeah. It must be weird for them. But maybe she's a stalker, Darren. Maybe have a stalker.
Nah, I don't think so.
Would you like to have a stalker? Live?
Would I like to have a stalker?
Yeah.
Oh, who the fuck would like to have a stalker?
Joe.
I think it'd be flattering. It'd be flattering.
Yeah.
There you go.
Be lovely.
That'd be very dangerous.
Joe wouldn't see that. Yeah.
No, wouldn't be dangerous. What could they do to you?
What about a stalker like Raymond or something? Raymond,
yeah, you get cakes now. Lovely cakes all the time. Sleepy cakes.
Mm. You'd never feel like you fell off.
You fell off as in?
Yeah. You always feel like you were still a somebody.
Still on your game.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you're not.
You might well.
But that person's just like, I love you.
Listen, if someone's hiding out in your bin, you're doing something right.
There was a fella who won the X Factor years ago. Johnson.
Matt Cardle. Was it Matt Cardle, was it?
Before him.
Joe McKeldry.
Yes.
Shane Warne.
No, you got it. Joe McKeldry. There was a fella, Joe McKeldry, and he has like this fan group, and I've seen on TikTok that they were like, oh, we're here since day one and stuff like that, and you can literally see them in photographs with Joe McKeldry at the final of The X Factor. And then, like, he was doing some show with some hotel and some fucking shit. And they've literally gone to every single Joe McKeldry show since 2009, whenever he won the Bleeding X Factor.
I think that's nice, isn't it?
It's lovely, yeah, it's lovely. But that's borderline stalking, no?
Yeah, it's very much so.
And they, like, he knows them. And I think he went for a drink with them and everything. And I was like, oh, that's kind of, like, so weird.
Jed would have that as well.
Stalkers?
Jed would have it. Well, like, just people that would follow them.
Yeah, yeah.
And look in the window and stuff and wait in the garden. And
yeah, like,
probably not that extreme.
It would have been in the past, like, that crazy fandom.
It's just so different now. I feel like if you have a stalker and you're a big musician or whatever, it's, like, on social media.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, they're queuing outside behind a barrier waiting to get a glimpse. Like, you know, it's not really like that anymore. Although it is, like, you still see people signing autographs and stuff, but...
Yeah, it depends on the people, yeah. Now it's, oh, I can have a selfie. I don't like it, but my board does.
Yeah. Wait, just take that photo there. Just get another one there. Right, that's four. And they're just taking, like, loads. And I just stand there. Like, I'm going to go out the Dunes.
And they're taking it on Snapchat. And you're like, I'm never going to see this. I didn't know Snapchat was still a fucking thing.
Yeah, Amy's on Snapchat and she's always texting our... Like, she has a work group chat on Snapchat. Like, it's
on
weird.
Snapchat?
I don't know if it's... No, I don't think it's a group chat on Snapchat, is there? But she's always texting on it anyway. Like you would on Messenger or WhatsApp. And I haven't been on Snapchat in a very, very long time. Like, 10 years, probably.
Fuck, that's mad. I can't believe that. I don't know when it made a comeback.
People have mass followings on Snapchat and, like, use Snapchat as another form of social media.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, but, like, it's just mad that, like, people use that as much as they would use their TikTok or their Instagram.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mad.
And I'm completely oblivious to it.
We're too old now, man.
The fucking dinosaurs. Stick me out in the garden.
We're over the hill now. All these young blokes coming up. All these young lads coming up now. All the young ones, huh? All the young ones. All coming up doing the TikToks and we're left for dust.
The old
guys. Do you not remember we did git. Do you not remember? We made that a while ago. It's not even that long ago. It wasn't even like 5 years ago. Like before you know it, you're back on the scratcher. Peter McGann was there falling off the stage and all. You can only ever do that once.
How's the play going?
Oh, I don't know. We're doing like an industry night. It's not like what I thought it was going to be, like, you know what I mean?
Overall?
Overall, yeah. It's different to what I had expected or hoped. Like, I thought it would have been sold out every night. I thought it was going to be like a big deal over here, like in Washington. Mm. I knew Washington wasn't a big theater state or anything, but I thought more people would. It was sold to me like we're going to pack it out. There's going to be radio interviews. There's going to be podcast interviews. And it's just feels like nothing.
Has there been anything like that?
Nothing, no. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know.
And has there been a lot of nights where it was noticeably not a full house?
I'd say every night.
Really?
The first night was good. The thing about the play is we're doing, like, Waiting for Godot was dark and morbid and bleh. we're trying to make it funny, and we're doing kind of routines, like vaudeville routines, and it is funny. And one of the nights we had a small crowd and they were laughing, and I was like, this is what we need. Like, it was a bigger crowd than usual, and when there's more people there, they feel more comfortable laughing. But if there's a small crowd there, they don't know if they're supposed to be laughing or not. There was one time, half time, when the play went to half time, everyone usually claps, but there was one time it was half time, lights went down, we left the stage, and nobody clapped, and the lights came back up and nobody moved, and they weren't sure whether it was still part of the show or whether it was halftime or whether he was supposed to leave. And then we were behind the stage and we start going like clapping, and then they knew, oh, okay, right, we can clap and we can leave. It was such a weird, it's a weird play, man. It's a really weird experience that I'm having here.
Are you enjoying it though, or do you want to go home? Like, bet you wish you didn't get deported.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm having an okay time. Like, you know, it's, but like, you know, you miss the kids, and you miss family,
Darren,
you miss home,
and
Darren,
and go loud, and
go loud, the podcast and everything. Yeah, miss home.
Have the kids more been over to see yet?
No, not yet. They're coming over next week.
Cool.
But yeah, what I was saying is, we're doing a show on Monday coming. And so I'm about to go on a run of 5 nights of shows, and I'm hoping, that they're good and that the audiences are bigger and better and stuff like that. But we're about to go on a 5 show run, and on Monday night there's a thing called an industry night. I didn't know what an industry night was until last week. So industry night happens on a Monday because it's an opportunity for people in other plays around the city to come to your play. So every play that's doing a run will have an industry night, which is basically an opportunity for other artists to come see your stuff. But I heard it's really weird because they don't want to like it. So they won't laugh, they won't clap, they won't like
give. Just judging it, like?
Yeah, they'll just be judging it, just kind of looking down their nose at it. And that just seems so weird.
That feels real pretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
You should go to one of the industry nights as well. And just go,
That's it. That's what the industry night is. It's just an opportunity for people to do that. I wouldn't have done that.
You should do it and just do it after every line. So, do us a favour.
I have a lovely speech at the end of the play, towards the end, where the comedy kind of fades off and I get very serious and I have a monologue. And apparently I made someone cry in the audience. Which is...
Really?
Yeah, which is impressive. I'm proud of that.
Well, you're winning. Well, then you're winning.
Well, what's it worth, you know?
Has it given you a bug for doing more stage work when you go home?
Or a little bit. I just feel like I have this in my head now, and it feels like such a waste if I don't do more of it. Like, you know, it's there now. I have it.
So you're just going around just auditioning for this one part?
Yeah, I can do
any, one of them more theatre, but specifically this role.
Any Godot parts going, let's...
It's a lot. It's a big investment for not a lot of return. So I don't know if it...
Who's bankrolling all this?
Donors. The way theatre works is like, there's... When you're rich in America and you have a big tax bill at the end of the year, instead of giving it to the tax man, you can give it to charities or you can give it to the arts. So there's a lot of rich people that just fund the arts. And that's why I feel like there's not a huge incentive to market the play. Uh-huh. And I could be wrong. I could be way off the mark. But there's been nothing's gone into publicising this fucking play. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Why are we doing this? But you know.
It's just people like interested in theatre that are just like going. It's not like it's spiraling and out of there and it's just like random people looking to go just for the crack, like, you know.
Yeah, the odd person walking by might see a sign in the window and say, oh yeah, we'll go see that. But like,
exposure is kind of everything, isn't it? Marketing, social media.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. And then I feel like they could utilize
the Book of Mormon is coming back here, and like that's everywhere. I know it's like, oh gosh, and Book of Mormon is massive, like, as well, like, but it's still like, it's, you're aware of it, like.
Yeah,
do you know that kind of way?
Yeah
I can't, even if there's a small fucking comedy gig somewhere and there's a stand-up comedian playing, you know about it.
Yeah, that's how it should be. I agree with you 100%. I find this all bizarre, to be honest. I don't know. Strange. Feels strange.
I might like fucking light the fire in you though and just keep going with it anyway and go from A to B and just try it out more places and just try different players and that. Shall we?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's probably what you'll gain is like that's, I think that's good experience. Like,
yeah.
Like really good experience. No matter what the outcome is or many people go or whatever it happens with it, like it's something for you. Like,
ah, well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Bother. Oh. Here, thanks very much, everyone, for listening, by the way, because that I thought that was a bit of crack, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's good crack.
That's it. Good stuff, that. Good stuff, indeed.
The good stock.
Do you know what I noticed, actually? Sorry, I know we're supposed to be finished. Do you know what's on a lot of ads on television that they have a line in most of them, right? And it just says, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. I said it in the Expressway thing. You said it in the Chadwicks thing. There's another one on the TV at the moment that says it. And a couple of others that I can't think specifically what they are, but I know I've heard it loads of times. It's a game changer.
I've heard it myself, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever notice that?
Yeah. Because it's vague. Vague enough to be, you know, you can't disprove it or prove it.
But it always feels like it's the same tone. Like when in every ad when someone says it's a game changer, it's the same tone. Is that the way?
It's a game changer.
And then watch me. It's a game changer. give us a go on. Huh? Give us a go.
It's a game changer.
Ah, you wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it.
We'll be in touch with you.
Maybe they're looking for something different. Maybe they don't want someone who's doing it the exact same way as everybody else.
I just thought it was interesting that it's used a lot. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, it gets the message across. It's just, I heard it a lot of times. It's fine. Yeah. So thanks very much for listening. See you, and I'll see you later. I'll leave that with you and listen out for that one because you won't be able to unforget that you heard it.
Because it's a game changer.
Because it's a game changer, so... Just thought I'd let you know.
Okay.
See ya. All the best, everyone.
Bye.